te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, chapter 4, verse number 7. Na dumebyo mahabhaga dinebyo drogdam arhata vivardayishavo yuyam prajanam Prataya Smitaha Nadumebhyo Mahabhaga Dinebhyo Drokum Arhata Vivardayishavo Yuyam Prajanam Prataya Smitaha Na drumebhyo mahabhaga dinebhyo drogdum arhata vivardayishvo yuyam prajanam prataya smitaha. Matajis. Na, not. Dunebhya, the trees. Mahabhagaha, O greatly fortunate ones. Dinebhya, who are very poor. Drogdum, to burn to ashes. Arhata, you deserve. Vivardayishvaha, desiring to bring about an increase. Yuyam, you. Prajanam, of all living entities who have taken shelter of you. Prataya, the masters or protectors. Smita, known as. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. Please repeat. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. Purport. It is indicated herein that the government, or king has the duty of protecting not only the human beings, but all other living entities, including animals, trees, and plants. No living entity should be killed unnecessarily. Jai Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmiditamina Tasmai Shri Guru Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upakatamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa tubhyascha, kripasindubhyascha, patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So the verse again. Na drumebhyo mahabhaga, dinebhyo drogtum arhata, vivarda yishavo yuyam, prajanam prataya smitaha. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity, and to act as their protectors. So today, let's talk a little bit about this anger that the prajetas are experiencing. And let's talk about this one word that Srila Prabhupada talks or brings out here is prataya, the masters or protectors. So we see the prachetas here performing these austerities, and it's for material gain. And we know austerities, if they're not performed with the proper intent, they can have a different result. So this particular case, they were performing these great austerities and under the water, and they came out and they were angry at the trees because they became so many of them. So they started just burning them to ashes. And Srila Prabhupada says how this world is compared to a forest fire, and it's caused by the cohesion of the bamboo and the bushes, this friction. So such a forest fire takes place automatically, and it's without external cause. So similarly, the material world, the wrath of those who want to lord it over material nature, it interacts, and the fire of war takes place, exhausting the unwanted population. So such fires or wars take place, and the Lord has nothing to do with them. But because he wants to maintain the creation, he actually desires the mass of people to follow the right path. And that's self-realization. And that enables the living entity to enter into the kingdom of God. So the Lord wants suffering humanity to come back home. He wants them to come back to him and cease suffering these threefold miseries of the material pangs. So this is the whole plan of creation. It's made in that way. And one who doesn't come to his senses, he suffers in the material world by the pangs inflicted by this illusory energy. So the Lord wants his bona fide representatives, which brings up the point as a leader, a ruler, a director, a protector. This is what this word, pataya, it's used in different forms, in different ways by Srila Prabhupada. He translated it as protectors, maintainers, leaders, masters, lords, chiefs, husband, best, the best, and the priestly order. So this is what the Lord wants, his bona fide leaders, representatives, masters to rule the world. And this is the case, what happened, we know, with the Kurukshetra war. And Krishna descended to establish this sort of regime. And he killed all unwanted persons who have nothing to do with his plan. So this is how that battle of Kurukshetra was fought. And Lord Bhishma describes how anger, we have to give it up. In order to get liberation, this anger must be given up. So he says, as far as salvation is concerned, one has to conquer these principles of lust, anger, unlawful desires, avarice, and bewilderment. So to get free from anger, he recommended that one should learn how to forgive. And then he describes how to get rid of all these other things like unlawful desires by not making plans. And you could get rid of conquer sleep by developing spiritual culture. And by tolerance, you can conquer desires and avarice. And disturbances from various diseases, they can be avoided by regulated diets. And self-control, one can be free from false hopes. And he says that money can be saved to avoid undesirable association. So you can save your money by not getting undesirable association. So you see how this happens. So, and then worldliness can be avoided by culturing the knowledge of impermanence. And dizziness can be conquered by rising up. And false arguments can be conquered by factual ascertainment. And talkativeness can be avoided by gravity and silence. And by prowess, one can avoid fearfulness. Perfect knowledge can be attained by self-cultivation. So in this way, he says one should become free from this lust, avarice, anger, dreaming, etc., and then actually attain the path of salvation. This is the whole purpose of this material creation. As we'll see, the greatest leader, Lord Brahma, he is the creator. He took charge of this whole creation. So we are actually considered to be in his sampradaya. And he has a whole arrangement for relieving people of this suffering, this miseries. So in the following the footsteps of Lord Brahma, we should also become leaders and follow in his plan. After all, this patya, Prabhupada uses the word Atma Yoga Patya, the masters of self-realization or the masters of devotional service. So this is how we have to become free by not only becoming masters of devotional service ourselves, practicing it and learning the science of self-realization, but to actually preach it and give it to others. And there's a nice story of Devahuti Kardamuni. She was lamenting. She was actually approaching her husband, who was the leader. And she says, so far as we have these daughters, you know, and she knows that the daughter's going to get married off and she's going to be left by herself. And she explained, we've enjoyed this material life in this aerial mansion, traveling all over the universe. And these boons have come by your grace, but they've all been for sense gratification. Now there must be something for my spiritual advancement. So she's very intelligent. So she's seeing that this material boons and traveling in this huge mansion, it was just temporary and it just for sense gratification. But now she wants something more important. So she's asking for this solace and relief from her anxieties. And Srila Prabhupada writes that this relief means spiritual instruction. It doesn't mean material comforts because we know they end with the body. So, but spiritual instruction, it'll never end. It'll go on with the spirit soul. So instruction in spiritual advancement is necessary, and with the son who disseminated transcendental knowledge. And that was Kapila Muni. He came and liberated his mother and us with this transcendental knowledge. So this is real leadership, is to disseminate this knowledge. And so this leads us into how today is the disappearance of Ishvara Puri. And he is in this disciplic succession from Lord Brahma. He's considered to be number 21. Prabhupada lists him in the Brahma Sampradaya, or as he calls the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. But he adds in there the Gaudiya Madhava, right? Gaudiya Madhava Brahma Sampradaya, something like that. He adds all that in there. So Brahma Madhava. Yeah, Sampradaya. Yes, right. So this is where Ishvara Puri, he is the 21st listing there. And before him was Madhavacharya. And this Madhvacharya had two principal disciples, which was Ishvarapuri. I meant Madhvendrapuri, I'm sorry. It's Madhvendrapuri, where Ishvarapuri and Advaita Prabhu, they were his two principal disciples. And Madhvendrapuri, he is considered to be the first one to experience ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And it's from him that the ecstatic feelings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Madhvendrapuri through Ishvarapuri, his spiritual master. So this is really nice. So I'd like to read a little bit something about this, about Sri Ishvarapuri. First, we'll glorify Sri Madhvendrapuri. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all glories to Sri Madhvendrapuri, the storehouse of all devotional service unto Krishna. He is a desire tree of devotional service, and it is in him that the seed of devotional service first fructified. Then Prabhupada explains, Sri Madhvendrapuri, also known as Sri Madhavapuri, belonged to the disciplic succession from Madhvacharya and was a greatly celebrated sannyasi of Sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the third disciplic descendant from Sri Madhvendrapuri. The process of worship in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya was full of ritualistic ceremonies with hardly a sign of love of Godhead. Sri Madhvendrapuri was the first person in that disciplic succession to exhibit the symptoms of love of Godhead and the first to write a poem beginning with the words, Aidina Dayadra Nata, O Supremely Merciful Personality of Godhead. And that poem is the seed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cultivation of love of Godhead. So the next verse. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishvarapuri, and then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a little bit about Ishvarapuri, and is quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is writing in his Anubhasha. Sri Ishvarapuri was a resident of Kumarahatta, where there is now a railroad station known as Kumarahatta. Nearby there is another station named Halishara, which belongs to the Eastern Railway. This railway runs from the eastern section of Calcutta. Ishvarapuri appeared in a Brahmana family and was the most beloved disciple of Srila Madhvendrapuri. In the last portion of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Antya 8:28-31, it is stated, there's a long verse here, so I'll just read the translation. At the last stage of his life, Sri Madhvendrapuri became an invalid and was completely unable to move. And Ishvarapuri so completely engaged himself in his service that he personally cleaned up his stool and urine, always chanting the Hare Krishna Ma mantra and reminding Sri Madhvendrapuri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the last stage of his life. Ishvarapuri gave the best service among his disciples. Thus, Madhvendrapuri, being very pleased with him, blessed him, saying, My dear boy, I can only pray to Krishna that he will be pleased with you. Thus, Ishvarapuri, by the grace of his spiritual master, Sri Madhvendrapuri, became a great devotee in the ocean of love of Godhead. Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur states in his Gurvastika prayers, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is blessed by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. It is by the mercy of the spiritual master that one becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. A Vaishnava is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if he appears to be an invalid, this gives a chance to his disciples to serve him. Ishvarapuri pleased his spiritual master by service, and by the blessings of his spiritual master, he became such a great personality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master. Srila Ishvarapuri was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but before initiating Lord Chaitanya, he went to Navadvipa and lived for a few months in the house of Gopinathacharya. At that time, Lord Chaitanya became acquainted with him, and it is understood that he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting his book, Krishna Lilamrita. This is explained in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda, chapter 11. To teach others by example how to be a faithful disciple of one spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, visited the birthplace of Ishvarapuri at Kumarhatta and collected some earth from his birth site. Thus he kept very carefully, and he used to eat a small portion of it daily. This is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda, chapter 17. It has now become customary for devotees, following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to go there and collect some earth from that place. So there's a nice kind of a pastime that's related to Ishvarapuri. And it's a pastime related to how a sudra can be turned into a brahmana, because this is the whole power of this our particular sampradaya, is that people want to become leaders today. You know, everyone wants to lead somehow or another, or even some people are afraid to lead. But everyone should become a leader. And by the power of this movement, a mere sudra can be turned into a brahmana, who is the leader of society. So this is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, is to create leaders. You know, no matter what position you come from, by the mercy of the spiritual master, and by the mercy of this transcendental process, we can become true leaders of society and follow in the footsteps of Lord Brahma. So I'll go to that section there and just read that real quickly. This is from the Madhya 10, starting with 136. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Why did Ishvarapuri keep a servant who comes from a sudra family?" And this is regarding Govinda, who is this, he accepted as a disciple who came from a sudra family. So he was asking that because according to the Smriti Shastras, which give directions for management of the Vanashram institution, a brahmana cannot accept a disciple from the lower castes. So if he does, then the spiritual master could be contaminated, according to this. So here's what, in answer to this question, Prabhupada kind of already gives the answer in the purport here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master, Ishvarapuri, was so empowered that he was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, Ishvarapuri was the spiritual master of the whole world. He was not a servant of any mundane rule or regulation. An empowered spiritual master like Ishvarapuri can bestow his mercy upon anyone, irrespective of caste or creed. The conclusion is that an empowered spiritual master is authorized by Krishna and his own guru and should therefore be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This is the verdict of Vishnava Chakravarti, Sakshad Daritvena. An authorized spiritual master is as good as Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Hari is free to act as he likes, the empowered spiritual master is also free. As Hari is not subject to mundane rules and regulations, the spiritual master empowered by him is also not subject. According to the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Antya Lila 7.11, Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Parvartana, an authorized spiritual master empowered by Krishna can spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord, for he has power of attorney from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the mundane world, anyone possessing his master's power of attorney can act on behalf of his master. Similarly, a spiritual master empowered by Krishna through his bona fide spiritual master should be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the meaning of Saksad Daditvena. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore describes the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the bona fide spiritual master as follows. So just a couple more verses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and my spiritual master Ishvarapuri are completely independent. Therefore, neither the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead nor that of Ishvarapuri is subject to any Vedic rules and regulations." So here we see the mercy that they have. This is actually very important, because how can one have mercy if he's angry, right? Like the Prachetas. So that's being appealed to him by the leader, which is the moon, you know, personified. He's appealing to him. And as Archita mentioned, that in those days they would be cultured and would respect their authorities and they would do what they were told. So here they're saying, be merciful, give up your anger, you know, forgive them like that. So that's one of the processes of liberation. So here it's not, his mercy is very important. The mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not restricted to the jurisdiction of caste and creed. Vidura was a sudra, yet Krishna accepted lunch at his house. Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently. So this is very important. So, you know, we have to, as a protector, as a leader, we could see the most bona fide leaders that we see in society, like Lord Ram, you know, Lord Krishna, you know, Parikshit Maharaj. There's so many different leaders, Prahlad Maharaj. They actually had love, affection for their citizens. They actually cared about them in such a way that, you know, they were very merciful. And this is how Krishna is the same. It says, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful, but his mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. So this is why Krishna, we should develop our bhakti, our love for Krishna, because this is the most important thing. You see, so we can see service to Krishna can be rendered in two ways. There's affection and there's veneration. But when service is rendered in affection, that's the Lord's special mercy. But when it's rendered in veneration, it's doubtful whether it's Krishna's mercy is actually involved. So we have to be very, very affectionate for Krishna. So here it says, he accepted Govinda, although he was a boy born in a sudra family. When Govinda was initiated, he became a brahmana and was accepted as Ishvarapuri's personal servant. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatana Goswami states that one who is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a brahmana. A pseudo spiritual master cannot transform a person into a brahmana, but an authorized spiritual master can do so. So this is the importance of disciplic succession. It must be authorized. So this is the verdict of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Goswamis. In conclusion, dealings in affection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead bring happiness many millions of times greater than dealings with him in awe and veneration. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotee is merged in transcendental bliss. So, confirmed. So, just getting back to the disciplic succession, this is when Krishna was very pleased seeing Lord Brahma before him, and he accepted him as a worthy to create living beings and to control as he desired, and he was very pleased with him. So it's described here how let's see if I can find the proper. This is, you know, Lord Brahma performed great penances and austerities. But we know how some may follow it for sense gratification, but others who do that penance and austerities for self-realization, then that pleases Krishna. And, you know, who knows, you may perform some austerities, but for the wrong motive, then you become angry. And then this causes this friction. And this is what's happening today. People are performing so many austerities to become this, to become that, but yet they end up angry and they destroy this planet, as we see what's going on today. So much, you know, degradation of this planet. So, Prabhupada explains in a purport here. For example, the penances undertaken to discover nuclear weapons will never satisfy the Lord, because such penances is never satisfactory. By nature's own way, everyone has to meet death. And if such a person of death is accelerated, or such a process of death is accelerated by anyone's penances, there is no satisfaction for the Lord. So we see even some fanatical religions, they say that you know, we have to kill, you know, so many ways. But here, that the process of accelerating death does not bring satisfaction to the Lord, because he wants every one of his parts and parcels to attain his eternal life and bliss by coming home back to Godhead. So this is the whole material creation is meant for that objective. And Brahma went through these severe austerities just for this particular purpose. So Krishna was very pleased with him. And then here, one more section here, Prabhupada writes in the purport regarding Lord Brahma that the creation of the mature world is not blind or accidental. The living entities who are ever conditioned, or Nityabhata, are thus given a chance for liberation under the guidance of his own representative, like Brahma. The Lord instructs Brahma in Vedic knowledge in order to diffuse this knowledge to the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are forgetful souls in their relationship with the Lord, and thus a period of creation and the process of dissemination of Vedic knowledge are necessary activities of the Lord. So Lord Brahma has a great responsibility in delivering the conditioned souls, and therefore he is very dear to the Lord. So Brahma also does his duty very perfectly, not only by generating the living entities, but also by spreading his party for reclaiming the fallen souls. The party is called the Brahma Sampradaya. And any member of this party, to date, is naturally engaged in reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead, back home. The Lord is very much anxious to get back his parts and parcels, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. No one is more dear than the one who takes the task of reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead. There are many renegades from the Brahma Sampradaya whose only business is to make men more forgetful of the Lord and thus entangle them more and more in material existence. Such persons are never dear to the Lord, and the Lord sends them deeper into the darkest regions of matter so that such envious demons may not be able to know the Supreme Lord. So anyone, however, preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord, and the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. So this is our goal, is to satisfy the Lord where he comes and he shakes your hand. Because we're in this great, powerful, disciplic succession of leaders. And these leaders are meant to disseminate this transcendental knowledge. So first we become fixed up, and then we give it out and actually really lead society properly back home, back to Godhead. So it's 8:15. Maybe there's some comments or questions by anyone. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a nice Ekadasi today. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.